This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back, everybody. This is Wells Tech, episode 481 for Tuesday, January 24th, 2017. I'm Martin Spriggs, and I'm joined, as usual, by good friend, co-worker, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Hi, Martin. Happy to be joining you today once again from sunny Mississippi. So
is it?
Take two on the Technology South office chiming in.
Good. The topic du jour, one of my favorite shows each month, is one where we just kind of schwaffle around a little bit and jump from topic to topic, because the agenda for the show has been created entirely by our wonderful Wells Tech community. It's our community feedback day.
Yep, and we're really loaded up. There's all kinds of great stuff to share this week. I can't even tell you how many tabs I have open, so we should probably get right to it. And I'll start right away by sharing my screen so you can see one of these fabulous tabs I have open. I just want to make sure I'm sharing.
Those of you listening, we are sensitive to that, and we'll kind of talk through each of the contributions.
Yeah. And first up, we're going to focus on our Wells Tech Google groups. So it's been a few months, maybe half a year or more, since we migrated our group over to Google Groups. It's been working really great. With a Google group, you can subscribe using any of your Google accounts, and you'll receive email that's sent to the group and be able to respond. So it's like having maybe 500 of your best techie friends to ask questions of and share information with. And we've had several recently. Probably one of the ones that impressed me the most was one of our friends from MLC, Benj Matsky, posted some equipment that they had available for sale, and I think it was within an hour perhaps that he had someone who contacted him who was interested. So seemed to work very well for Benj. Gail Potratz has posted some equipment that they were giving away from Emmanuel in New London, and I also posted about some warnings that we received here in the Senate office about Gmail phishing attacks. And I actually had several private emails come back to me reminding me about two-step authentication. So if you do by chance get caught up in a phishing scheme, if you have that two-step authentication set up, they're only going to have access to your account for just a few seconds, because in order to log in, they're going to need that special code that's on your mobile device in most cases. So great feedback. Someone else posted a link to a site, and I've heard more and more about these kind of things that they'll actually help you train your employees by sending out fake phishing attacks and educating people as to why they shouldn't be clicking on them and what they might look like and things like that. So lots of great information being shared in the Wells Tech group.
Yeah. Was it last week I was up at MLC? The week before, I forget. They all kind of run together. But I sat with the technology team there, and they're using one of these services that kind of pokes at the faculty and staff at MLC, and I won't tell you the numbers, but they were a little disappointed in some of the results they got back, and it's a good thing that they're doing it, because that's an opportunity for education. So they intentionally send out, you know, these phishing emails and see how many people respond, so they can get back to those folks and help them out understand what is what things to look for, and in the future be a little bit safer. So these are fairly reasonable, and MLC is taking that seriously. So that's good to know.
Yeah, I'm guessing many of us would be quite surprised and saddened to know how many people actually click the links. And I'm guilty at times. They sure are clever with the way they send them out. So we all need to have our guards up in that regard.
Education is good. Just to remind your staffs that this is something to pay attention to, because the ramifications, the consequences can be pretty severe sometimes.
Next up, we traveled over to Google Plus. So we were on Google Groups. We have some friends that have various communities on Google Plus, and these are great ways to share as well. One is focused specifically on schools that use Google the Chrome calendar. Ecosystem. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so all different people that are using Chromebooks or different Chrome devices in their classrooms, and they're constantly sharing information. This one in particular was a post from Matt Notling, and he talked about Calendly, which is an add-on for Google Calendar. It checks your availability and lets others schedule meetings with you. And I know from a school faculty's perspective, having the ability to use something like this, say at teacher conference time or whenever it may be that you need people to schedule meetings with you, can be really valuable and a huge, huge time saver when you have so many parents to deal with.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I used to spend a lot of time trying to do is schedule. You know, I attend a lot of meetings, and scheduling the meetings is no fun whatsoever, especially with people's busy schedules. Came across, and we've talked about Doodle before, doodle.com. Mm-hmm. This takes it a little bit of a step further, especially if you use Google Calendar, because it integrates with that, and you can just point it at your Google Calendar, and it figures out when you have the free and busy times. And it shares those and just makes it a little bit easier. And then obviously for the scheduling, puts it right on Google Calendar. So nice little find.
Yeah, and I remember now while I was struggling with naming this group, because Google actually changed the name of their tool set. They now call it G Suites. That used to be Google Apps for Education. And one of the newest participants or pieces of the G Suite puzzle is Google Classroom. It's been out just a couple of years now, and they're constantly enhancing Google Classroom, making it easier to use it basically as your learning management system. So you get all your students enrolled, and you can share files with them. They can turn in things that way. You can have conversations, threaded discussions, all of that. And as I said, they're constantly tweaking it and improving it. So there's an article we'll have a link to in the show notes that Kurt Gosdick shared, I believe, in the Wells Google School community. And it's called New Google Classroom Features Make It Easier to Learn, Teach, Manage, and Build, all the things you want to do. So
now, one of the big features of the latest additions to the application is individualized or differentiated learning, so that you don't have to apply the same assignment to the entire class. You can do it one-on-one basis or smaller groups. And it can kind of keep track and manage all that. So it gives the instructor or the educator a lot more flexibility and the ability to just kind of target to an individual student, either high-performing, low-performing, you know, wherever, with different assignments, and still kind of keep everything together. So that's a nice improvement with the classroom application.
There's a nice embedded video here on the page that demonstrates some of the other things where teachers can easily follow up. They have a mobile app. They can use the mobile app to follow up with students. They're providing more and more metrics. Makes sense, since they're the king of Google Analytics. So lots and lots of data about how the sites are being used and things like that. So check out the article for more details. And we thank Kurt for sharing that. There's another Google Plus community. That's the one I tried to name first. It's called Wells. Office 365 Schools, I believe. Yep. And that one is primarily managed by Perry Lund out at Evergreen Lutheran High School out in Washington State. Boy, I need to get my act together here. Perry shared an article called OneNote plus Office Forms equals a perfect match. And so they're kind of competing, I think, a little bit with Google, and the fact that Google Forms is pretty robust for gathering information. Now you have Office Forms that can gather that information and tie it in to your OneNote notebooks.
Yeah, I have not tried Office Forms. It must be fairly new or rebranded. That's something that's very intriguing to me. I think it's probably a kind of the power user or business user's ability to create these forms, and the real power when it's attached to OneNote is its embeddability. So as your students get into their OneNote applications, you can embed forms for assessments, for information gathering, all those kinds of things. sounds like in a very easy to accomplish fashion. So, and OneNote, I'm gonna have to absolutely check that out.
And then we heard from Rachel Pearson, who said she's been using the Office Lens app, and I've installed it myself on my iPhone, and it's just a really great way to get information in and to get it into OneNote quickly. Martin, perhaps this is a pick of the week of yours?
Yeah, a long time ago. I don't use it anymore. One of the reasons I don't is because it's very difficult if you need to switch from notebook to notebook to notebook. In fact, I think you have to pick one and kind of ride that horse. So what I do, and it uses kind of the same tooling, so you get a lot of the same features, so you can set it on document mode or whiteboard mode or whatever, is just open the OneNote app. Then I can quickly go to the notebook I want and then click the camera button. And then it kind of uses that Office Lens interface to grab it, crop it, those kinds of things. So I kind of go through it maybe more the traditional way. But I think if you're kind of married to one notebook, Office Lens is a little bit fair because it takes you right in there and kind of jumps you right through the right hoops to get to the document. But it does a really nice job, especially if you want to go paperless. Great. Again, in receipts, bills, you know, whatever it is you need to get in your digital notebook. And OneNote is really awesome on that. So, yeah, Office Lens is a nice package. And I think it's a cross-platform, too. It's on iOS and it's also on Android.
Very good. I see a note here from Perry that highly endorses it. He says he used it for screenshots at ISTE and sent it to OneNote for taking notes during the presentations, and he photos the whiteboards in the classroom as well. So just like you described. All right. Next up, and probably the most robust category, is digging through all the email that we received throughout the month. You can email us at wellstech.wells.net. And one that I received wasn't necessarily from a listener, but was from an online conference I had registered for. Google for Education, Education on Air, was held back on December 3rd in our time zone. They did it around the globe, so it was a 24-hour online conference, but we got it on Saturday, December 3rd. So if you weren't able to tune in, or even if you were and you wanted to share it with others or rewatch some of the sessions that you missed, everything's been archived here, and you can watch all the sessions on demand. So check out the Education on Air, and you can still have a little professional development holiday and learn some new things from the resources that they posted there. Next, an email from Cindy Krieger led me on a search for a word cloud. I know it's been a while since we've talked about word cloud generators on Wells Tech, and one of the primary ones that we've recommended in the past is Wordle. I found this website that has 13 free word cloud generators for creating powerful presentation, and actually I think Wordle is the number one on their list, but Cindy specifically was looking for something different, and there's no shortage of them here with all their different pluses and minuses listed. The one I recommended as a secondary option is Tagzeto, I believe that's what it's called. So like Tuxedo, but Tagzeto, and you can check out others on this article that we have. Links will be on the show notes, wellstech.wells.net. Let's see. Martin, you got an email from Tim. I'm not sure if we know Tim's last name, but he was looking for an online Bible recommendation.
Right, and we've talked about the number of times on the show, and there are a lot of good ones out there. But the one we almost always recommend is YouVersion. And YouVersion is available in both web format and also app format. So if you go to Bible.com, they've got that nice domain name. You can kind of see all the bells and whistles. And I think one of my picks of the week not too long ago was related to YouVersion. And you can hot text, you can annotate text, you can you can share scripture references. You can put those scripture references on your own images and share those out to social networks. There are reading plans. There's all kinds of opportunities for personal growth through God's Word. And I've not found a better one, and the price is right, too, than YouVersion. And you just go to Bible.com, and get that. There's links to all the apps that they've got there. So not to say that the others don't have advantages, especially if you're a Bible student. I would say YouVersion doesn't provide, you know, some of the depth that maybe a Logos would provide, some of those other ones that you can get ancillary works and kind of have parallel views of different translations and reference works and those kinds of things. But if you're just looking for an online Bible reference, which was the question, I would say YouVersion is the way to go.
Seems like YouVersion is gaining in popularity. I know, you know, the beginning of the year is a great time for people to take on a Bible reading plan. Oftentimes, people begin them at the beginning of the year, and I have lots more friends in the Bible app now than I did in the past. It seems like more and more people are connecting there, and so that's really encouraging to see. And yeah, Bible in your pocket. I would encourage you, Tim, to make an account. It's free to sign up for an account. And then if you do any of those functions like annotating or saving images or whatever, that'll be available on all your different devices on which you log into your account. So
one nice disclaimer, I guess, would be if you're looking for the 1984 version of NIV, that is no longer available on YouVersion. I believe there's maybe only one or two online resources available where you can get that older version. So if that's what you're mm-hmm. after, then YouVersion wouldn't necessarily be the way to go. But that is still would be my recommendation.
All right, we're going to move along and talk a little bit about copyright. We heard from Pastor Emil Burgess, and he was looking for some copyright resources, realized that some of our links on the Wells Tech Wiki were a little out of date in this area, mainly because our friends over at Christian Copyright Solutions have updated their resources. So one of the really impressive things that they provide are what they call fact sheets. So they're very specific instructions and assistance with different areas of copyright, specifically for churches. So there's 6 myths about copyrights and basics on publishing and embedding videos and webcasting. All these different topics are covered here on their fact sheets. They also have a really nice ebook that you can download that's just very thorough and everything. They have free webinars, all kinds of resources through Christian Copyright Solutions. So definitely save this link when we add it to the show notes. And I think it's ChristianCopyrightSolutions.com. And check them out when you have questions about copyright. They are selling a product. They do have licensing available through their site. So just keep that in mind. But they aren't real high pressure. They want your contact information typically to be able to get access to their resources, though.
Yep. Very conclusive discussion. I can't think of a better resource in a single place to refer people to.
And maybe if I was thinking, I would have ordered these a little differently because you just talked about the Bible app and that it wasn't as in-depth as some things. And here, from our friends at Church Tech Today, Lauren Hunter and others, they have a review of Logos 7. So it's just more about the updated functionality, the layout of the software and things like that. So if you are a Logos user and considering Logos 7, maybe you want to learn a little bit about it through the review on Church Tech Today.
One of the interesting features that I was reading about, just reading their review, was the ability to catalog your own sermons within the application. So you can tie it right to the text there so that when you go into Logos again with your account, you can both pull up your sermons when it references, when they reference a particular passage, or even search them. So they become another kind of resource, you know, within the application. And you've done, you know, great work in Bible study to get that sermon put together. You might as well keep that good content along with your other reference works. So that was a nice add-on to Logos 7.
Excellent. All right. We're ready to change gears once again.
Our favorite social bookmarking applications.
And that would be Digo over at Digo.com. You can join the Wells Tech group there and tag things for the group, and then we'll be able to share them on the show. The first one came from Gail Potratz, who's up at Emmanuel in New London, Wisconsin. And she actually tagged a webinar that was held recently by the people at ISTE. So we've talked about ISTE and their role. That's Society of Technology Educators, I believe, and their role in regard to the emphasis on coding in the classroom and standards and things like that. And so they are definitely part of this discussion and hosted this webinar back in December, which if you're an ISTE member, you can watch the archive webinar for free. So I know many of our listeners in the education setting are members of ISTE and go to their conferences and things like that. And what they had was someone from a school presenting how they had a family code night. So kind of like maybe a PTO event or something. We've done them with reading, family reading night. Well, this is a night to introduce families to coding with lots of different stations and things to help them learn about what's involved in learning coding. So a neat idea for an elementary school to take on for an event. So
very nice.
Next up, we heard from someone close to you, Martin. Pastor Dan Witte wrote to us, and it was about securing your online life with the Bible and good security practices.
Yeah, took an interesting tact and talked really about how to create strong passwords. That was kind of the bulk of the article, and how you can use Bible references to create those. So the ability to kind of find that hard to guess password is no further than your Bible, and talks through a number of different techniques, picking a favorite Bible passage, you know, doing memorization, kind of mixing up a couple of different ones, and coming up with creative solutions for password protecting your stuff. So interesting read.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a mention of two-factor authentication again. So kind of a theme of our show is to make sure you're adding that on to your account so that if something were to happen and your passwords were to be divulged, they wouldn't have that ability to authenticate.
Right.
Let's see. From Jason Winjet, there was a link to a blog. I'm not sure if we have ever talked about this on the show, Martin.
It's not looking familiar to me.
worshiptechdirector.com. Wow, that's a little niche market there, and there are definitely listeners to Wells Tech who fit in that category, the Worship Tech Director, and I see information about projectors and amplifiers and just different setups and things like that. So perhaps this is a site you'd want to visit if you're in that space.
And Jason's definitely in that space, and I've come across a number of people who really have dove into this whole concept of trying to make that as good as it can get, including, you know, the screen presentations, the audio, the recording, the live streaming. There's a lot of moving parts, so this is not something that you just enlist the local fifth grader, you know, to come mm-hmm. in and do and cross your fingers. So there is a lot mm-hmm. of, this is a ministry, so I think sites like these we're going to see a lot more of, and Jason's come across a good one.
Definitely. All right, time to visit Pinterest, my favorite stop in the tour of Wells Tech community feedback. And this time we have a post from Pastor Rob Gunther, who pinned I guess it's kind of an infographic. It says this is a pretty long list, but you will find useful websites. And it's kind of all over the place. Things for creating content.
Topics, yes.
Yeah. I see lovely charts on here. Icon Finder, the place to find icons. Jolly Print, it says it reformats news articles and blog content as a newspaper. There's PDFescape.com lets you quickly edit PDFs in the browser. Random.org, we've used that on Wells Tech to pick random numbers or flip coins. Size Easy, visualize and compare the size of any product. And the list goes on and on. Just a lot of great links here. Maybe this will help me out with my picks of the week for the next year or so, because there's a lot of them on here.
I've heard of a lot of them, but many of them I have not. So it's a good exploration task in the coming weeks. So.
Definitely. Thanks for sharing, Robin. I would be remiss if I didn't say that I received an email recently from Pinterest. I think when we talked about Pinterest on the show, Martin, we mentioned that they do send out a lot of great suggestions to you. So they're very good at analyzing what your interests are based on the things that you pin and the people that you follow and the boards that you follow, and then sending you suggestions to keep you coming back. And I have to say that I got the most interesting suggestion from Pinterest the other day. It said, check out what Martin's been pinning. So you and I are
when
friends
I pin,
on Pinterest.
The entire Pinterest world wakes up, sits up,
and yeah.
Must be important because he doesn't do this very often.
I will say that most people, when it gives me messages like that, they've pinned 95 things and you had pinned just one, but I got noticed. So congratulations, Martin.
I don't even remember what I pinned. So
yeah. Well, it's not about what, it's just about the atmosphere.
Yes. So. I'll try and do one next quarter too.
Awesome. We'll hold you to that.
All right. Should we move on to Twitter?
Yeah. Time for me to share my screen one more time because I have an amazing website to share. Yeah. Pastor Guy Marquardt's missionary Marquardt's is in India as a friendly counselor. And recently he tweeted us to let us know that he had used the mobile app Adobe Spark to create this web page. It's a India Project Fund web page, and it's embedded with really beautiful imagery, and the scrolling kind of moves over the images. It's just a really neat concept and super easy to do. I installed Adobe Spark. It's a free app in the mobile app stores, and just in minutes, literally, you can have a web page up to promote whatever it is that you're interested in promoting. So perhaps for an event or some one-time use, this might be a really great way to just make something that's different, that's very visual and professional.
I can think of a lot of applications for something like this. Maybe the congregation's annual report or you know, things that the principal might put together, newsletters, et cetera, et cetera. Adobe is doing a real nice job with their mobile applications. I just installed three of them. One of them was this, and I think it's called Spark Page, the one that he used, but they also make a Spark Video and a Spark Post. So if you're just doing kind of a video montage or whatever, you can use video. Spark Post is kind of interesting because you're creating blog posts. So it's, imagery for your social networking feeds, whether that be a blog post or a Facebook post or whatever. So you can get an image, you overlay text, you can apply effects, those kinds of things. Really well done. And they're all, you know, they're all available in mobile format. So I think even better than maybe on the phone, on an iPad would be, you know, a great application or a way to experience those where you're touching media and moving it around and pinching and zooming and sizing it. So Adobe's doing some nice stuff. I use their Lightroom application on mobile all the time. And it's just more intuitive to, you're dealing with media, to touch it rather than kind of the disconnected mouse and click and point and drag. You know, the medium using the tools that God gave you, basically your fingers to manipulate the content seems more natural to me. So good job, Adobe.
Yeah, excellent. And thanks for sharing Missionary Marquardt.
Yeah, nicely done, Guy. Very nice.
This next tweet was actually one of yours, Martin. I think I'll let you explain.
Yeah, I found this the other day. It is entitled, it's a news article from Fox News, Christians, the most persecuted group in the world for a second year, which is interesting because they took it from a kind of a world or a global perspective, and they identified kind of a mainstream group who you wouldn't call a minority being the most persecuted group, you know, in the world. So it's not just a segment of the, you know, the community Shiites or, you know, whatever. It's really Christians, and the data in here is kind of eye opening, but should not really be surprising for those of us who read their Bibles and understand what Jesus warned us about in Matthew, that hey, this is going to happen, and it is happening. So worth a read.
Okay. All right, and then finally via Twitter, bringing up the rear is our friend Jason Schmidt, who linked to a site called Loom. The URL is actually useloom.com, L-O-O-M. And he tweeted that it's another great recording tool. It has some pretty slick features and interface. And on their site, you'll see that they say it's faster than typing. Save time every day with quick videos for free. And, you know, I am constantly communicating with people, and I have the option to type out much of my communication using chat tools or email or whatever it may be. And I must say that I'd much prefer spending 2 minutes creating a short video to explain things than I would typing things out. I'm just not, it's not fun for me to type. So I like this concept. This obviously isn't the only tool in the space for quick screencasting, but it looks really professionally done, just like Jason said, pretty slick.
Very, very seamless. What's the one from Camtasia that does 5 minutes or is it 15
Jing.
Minutes? Jing, that's Jing. Right. Mm-hmm. Kind of the same concept. That's an installable program. This is all web-based, so there's an advantage there. And just watch the introductory video. It's only like a 5-minute video. It walks you through how easy it is to go from, you know, lighting it up, and you can do just your screen. You can use just a tab. You can do just your headshot, mix it all together, and then really easy to share it out. They host it, and people can comment on it, or you can even comment or add more material. So if you have links, that's kind of one of the weaknesses of doing something with Jing, and maybe they've changed that. But this kind of thing, you can publish, and then down below it, you can put different links that you want to refer to or more help text or whatever. So kind of a nice mix. It's a nice find. I'm always looking for things like this because when I teach my class on dynamic classroom presentations, this is a distance learning class, I have to find a way to get the students to be able to present. So I've used a lot of different tools, screencast.com and, you know, a few others. And this sounds like maybe this is going to be in the race as well, where I can actually see their visual, but also see what they're presenting. And then just an easy way that it's not going to challenge them technically, because some of them aren't used to these kinds of tools. But anybody in the educational space, anybody doing any kind of work with students, I think this would be a nice win, either distributing content or getting content back from the students.
You know, I love it when I come back to something the next quarter, the next year, and there's a nice video explaining it right there waiting for me. So I know teachers do a lot of cyclical work, and why not capture it in this
way? I haven't gotten that smart yet because I make it so specific to the semester I'm teaching that I have to do it all over again. But maybe I'll learn.
Well, and, you know, technology changes, but I think the lesson on fractions that you do every year doesn't necessarily change
that's
that
right.
much. So, you know, I think it would be worth some investment there and an easy way to do it.
Very nice. Thank you, Jason, for sharing that. That's a nice find.
All right. That's going to do it for community feedback this week, Martin. And, you know, honestly, if people are watching and they didn't hear theirs come up, please forgive us because we really did have a lot to kind of pull together and we might have missed some along the way, but hopefully we gathered most of it in.
And hopefully that will not dissuade you from submitting community feedback in the future. So we kind of gather it up as the month goes along. So just go to our website, wellstech.wells.net, or send us an email, wellstech@wells.net. Social networks, you can find us almost anywhere. Just contribute there and we'll get it on the show. And if you want to remain anonymous, just let us know that too. That's fine. We honor that, except if it's, you know, family member or something. So, all right, let's move on to Wells Now. We should remind everybody that Interactive Faith, the online kind of synchronous Bible study, and can be asynchronous, I suppose, the online Bible study series that the Synod runs is going to start up again next week. And
Mysterious Marriage.
Yes, yep. By Pastor Randy Hunter out in Middleton, Wisconsin. He does a lot of these seminars, mostly face-to-face, but this will be online and free. So from February 1st to February 22nd at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. Central Time, just go to wells.net/interactivefaith. You'll find a link there for the live broadcast. If you miss it, these are all archived, so you can replay them anytime you want. But this promises to be really practical. for all you married couples out there, those people considering marriage, just kind of a something I'm really looking forward to. So that's starting next Wednesday, 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock Central Time.
Excellent.
Should we move on to our picks of the week, Sally?
I think it's time. Yes. And I get to go first. I usually go first. Is that okay?
This time.
I do. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we're on the road, Wells Technology South. We're down here at my mom's in Mississippi, and one of the things we had to contend with was having great internet access. And so we actually switched around her internet provider, got some high-speed stuff coming in here through the local cable company, but it's all broadcast over Wi-Fi, whereas normally for our work and things, we actually use a wired connection in our home office settings. So using Wi-Fi, we thought it was worth investing in a Wi-Fi range extender. I have the box here. It's from Linksys. It is an AC 1200 Max. And what this little baby does is it picks up that Wi-Fi signal. So we've got it positioned about halfway into the house, and it's grabbing that Wi-Fi signal and broadcasting it even stronger to the remainder of the house. And so we don't have to pick up the Wi-Fi signal from way on the other end of the house. Price on Amazon is about $73, and you can get free shipping with that as well. And it has good reviews. It's actually a dual band. So I'm learning as we have this Wi-Fi now as our option. I found out that Wi-Fi can be broadcast on 2.5 gigahertz or 5 gigahertz bands. And actually, when they installed it, we have both options here. Apparently, the 5 gigahertz is faster, maybe even twice as fast. However, it's not as strong of a signal. It doesn't go through walls and things as well. So having the extender allows us to, you know, make use of that 5 gigahertz signal. And we could also use it for the 2.5 if we wanted to go that way. So it'll do both. It actually, it has some Ethernet ports on it. So if we wanted to, we could plug in a wired connection into the extender. And it actually has a place to plug in a stereo speaker system. So you could control music using your Wi-Fi extender. So just all kinds of capabilities I didn't know existed with Wi-Fi extenders. One thing that we've been making use of actually on my husband's phone is an app called Wi-Fi Analyzer, and I only found it for Android, so I'm not sure if there is a version of this for iOS at all, but I'm sure there's similar things for iOS. Kevin has it for Android, and what it does is it looks at all the different networks around, and it tells us which ones are getting the strongest signals. And I don't know if you can see this. Let me try sharing my screen, and then maybe you can see it, but with the app, you can see the extended version. It's kind of in dark blue up here at the highest peak. That's our extender at work. And so that's the version that we're making use of and tapped into. And there's a lot of different networks around, so they're competing with each other. And it's nice to have the extender in play and boosting up that Wi-Fi signal that we're receiving. So I learned a little bit of geekiness this week to be able to bring you that pick of the week.
Well, it seems like it's working because we haven't dropped the signal at all yet. So,
yes, sir.
So we should probably devote a whole show to Wi-Fi. There are these new mesh networks coming out now, too, that offer some capabilities beyond just the Wi-Fi range extender, where they're not actually degrading the speed talking to each other because they're doing that kind of on a back channel. So it's getting really complicated, but the coverage is getting better and better. So that's, so we just replaced it in our house. I went through a similar process that you went through trying to pick which one was best. And we've been really happy with what we picked, but I'm not going to share what we picked until we do that.
Tease. Okay.
My pick of the week is actually more of a tip. Actually, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. I'm going to show those of you that are watching along at home. I'm showing my iPhone screen simulated on my Mac. And my tip of the week is for everybody, most everybody with an iPhone who uses iMessage, which is the texting app that comes along with. there is a feature, probably one of the hidden features within iMessage, and it's not so hidden because it's right in front of you, and that's the ability to not just text, but to use audio. And there's a couple of microphones that come up when you open iMessage. One is at the bottom next to the space bar, and that simply is used for dictation. And you can use that in almost any text box that opens up when you're texting a message, or if you're typing in something at another place in notes or reminders or whatever. I think most people know that there is good dictation. Siri jumps in and kind of spells out what you're saying and does a pretty good job at that. But my pick is the microphone that's sitting right in the iMessage tray where you type a message. And if you press down, it tells you tap and hold to record and send audio. So not only do you send text, but you can send little audio files, which is sometimes way easier than trying to, at least for me, get my fat thumbs on these little keys on iMessage. So what I can do is hold it down and it will record whatever I'm saying. And it's got these little waveforms and a little timer that says you're recording 8 seconds, 9 seconds, 10 seconds, etc. And then when you let it go, you have the ability to send it by hitting the little up arrow or the X next to it just to close it out and say, nope, that didn't work well. And what the other person receives on the other end is basically a voicemail. So they open up, they get a little notification on their iPhone that an iMessage, they've received an iMessage, and it's an audio file, and they can hit play, and it plays right through the speaker or the earphone. Really nice for maybe more complicated messages or something. Maybe you're not in a place where you can even use a couple fingers, or you can have great access to the keyboard, or you just don't want to use the keyboard. And maybe you can want them to hear your expressions or whatever. One of the, and I'm going to get off my screen share here now and just go to my phone itself. Another way you can do this with the message app up is if you have an iMessage ready to be sent out, you can simply bring it up to your ear and will recognize that you are in iMessage, and it will begin to record what they're saying. And then when you bring it down, it will give you that recorded message, and you can just hit send. Just by the fact that you've got iMessage open and you bring it up to your ear, it's smart enough to know, hey, you must want to record an audio message. You hit send, and away you go. So you don't even really need to touch your keyboard to send that audio message. There are a couple caveats. Only works on iPhone, and it only works if you're sending to somebody else who has an iPhone. So it won't go from iPhone, iOS to Android, because it does not use that iMessage protocol. Android doesn't. So if you ever used iMessage and you see the green bubbles, that means you're sending to a person that has a non-iMessage application. So you need to be blue bubble people that are sending back and forth. And it needs to be iOS 8 or later, which we're on iOS 10 now, so if you're not up to iOS 8, you probably have a very old phone that can't support it anyway. So that is my pick of the week, audio messages on iOS. Sally, you have an iPhone. You ever use that?
I have not. I think there's an audio capability in Messenger, if I remember correctly. Yes, you can dictate the same there.
I don't know if it looks exactly the same, but yeah, Facebook Messenger, I believe you can send audio or video, and you can do that with iMessage as well. So pretty cool, and comes right with your iPhone. Mm-hmm. I think that's good it for stuff. Our picks or tips of the week. Should we move on to ministry resources?
We should. I'm super excited. And you gave me a great lead in, actually, because mine has to do with messaging.
And so does mine. Wow. This is like we almost figured this out.
Wow. So mine is also tied into the Bible app, which we talked about earlier in the show, and the fact that the Bible app has now come out with a Bible keyboard. That integrates on iOS devices only, sorry, not for Android yet, but it integrates with your with your keyboard and allows you to easily pick Bible verses to include in any messaging that you're sending. So you can scroll through the Bible verses by category. And I actually have a little video embedded on my ministry resource post that kind of walks you through how that all works, how to get it installed. You have to do a little bit of work in the settings area to do that. But then the Bible verses are there by category. I think I picked secure, and then all these Bible verses came up, and you just click on one of them, and it automatically adds it to whatever message you're typing. So if it's a chat or an email or whatever it may be, this Bible keyboard is available to you and puts God's word really at your fingertips. So apparently iOS 8 and higher has the capability for third-party keyboards. Right. And so you just have to go into the keyboard area, Bible app installed and up to date, it's going to show that it has a third-party keyboard connected to it. And that's how you turn it on and you can make use of it. There's a little Bible icon that shows to you and off you go. So great way to add God's word.
Link to the Bible verse or insert the Bible verse?
Actually, it does both. So you get the Bible verse inserted. I actually, in the video, if you watch the video, it's maybe 3 minutes long. I actually did that with a Twitter post, and you can see what it looks like once it adds it to the Twitter post.
Awesome.
But, yeah,
that's both. That's a real natural thing. And I would assume that there are similar ones for Android, but nice.
Actually, not quite yet, but hopefully coming soon. And if you read the connected article and the related resources, they actually have functionality for iMessage specifically that will allow you to do the same thing, but also add verse images that they have available. So in addition to the categories and the text.
iOS keyboards, yeah.
Yep, and it's an app. You have to go into your settings in iMessage and add the Bible app basically to iMessage, and then you can get verse images as well. So that iPhone to iPhone communication.
Up here, Sally. Nice.
All right.
I like that.
Yeah. Try it out.
As I mentioned, my ministry resources also has to do with texting. And I will, let's just zip over here to the blog post itself. And the article I ran across that I wanted to share and associated application or service is, and we mentioned it earlier in the show, Church Tech Today. They had an article about a congregation that decided to take advantage of texting to their members. So this isn't necessarily for outreach, so this is more internal communication. And they talk about a number of advantages, and I thought through the number of applications, you know, for using texting to communicate with your members. And I include this in my blog post, and we'll have a link to it in the show notes. But this particular congregation found it very useful, especially for generating excitement about specific events, bigger events. But I think texting is probably a underutilized and maybe even hidden, very inexpensive solution to congregations that they're not taking advantage of. They think it's too complicated, and everybody is texting. So there are definitely advantages to using that medium over even social networks and websites and email and those kinds of things. I could think of things like announcements that maybe didn't make it into the bulletin or late breaking news or something that you wanted to give more emphasis, after a service, quick notification of event changes or cancellations, quick devotional thoughts, prayer requests, encouragement to attend upcoming events like this congregation did in their case study, follow-up thoughts or applications from Sunday morning sermons, Bible readings, Bible studies. Maybe even just creating smaller groups of recipients and use texting for them to encourage them or inform them, teens, ladies groups, moms, small group Bible studies, Sunday school teachers, etc. The app that they recommend in the article is one called SendTree. And I hadn't done a lot of exploration of tools like this, so I was kind of surprised at how inexpensive or reasonable a lot of these were. And this particular one has one just for congregations. And then if you look at their pricing, basically the way they price their light version, which is up to 250 contacts in the system, which for a lot of our churches, that's more than enough. Some of our bigger churches, not as much, but there's a more expensive version to cover them, which isn't also too expensive either. But for $9 a month and then 3 cents per text, you can do this. To me, that sounded pretty reasonable. So if you've got, 100 people that are in your contact list and you send out, one or two a month, so you don't want to kind of spam them, so you pick your spots, you're really only talking about, $12-15 a month just to get these text messages out to your membership. So the case study that Church Tech Today talked about, how to get people signed up and engaged. And to me, this is just kind of an underexplored area that our churches haven't been using to kind of get the word out. I also include a number of related resources, Call Fire, Easy Texting. They're all about the same price. I didn't do a feature comparison, but you can look at that yourselves. And Member Caller, which is a little bit of a variant that's offered by our friends over at Concordia Technology Solutions, where it's a voice rather than a text. So you take members' phone numbers, and it's more like a calling tree type of system. So kind of a robo-call, but with a church flair to it. So lots of good stuff there. If you haven't thought about texting, or you have and want to maybe see how others are doing it, this would be maybe a good ministry resource to take a look at.
Excellent. Thanks for sharing, Martin. It seems to me that on the education side of things, there are tools for teachers to use to connect with parents and things as well. I think someone, Seth Fitzsimmons perhaps, presented on that at WellsTech conference. So if you're a teacher, maybe you want to consider looking into some of those kind of tools as well.
Yep. Another for it in schools, depending on your location and how things are, is kind of for lockdown or emergency or risk management purposes. Mm-hmm. Just make sure your parents and if you're in high school, maybe the students even, are all connected, and good way to communicate with everybody very quickly. So
definitely. Yeah, we are totally on the same wavelength today, because I was actually remembering the congregation in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina hit, and mm-hmm. everybody, spread out, and they had real trouble getting in touch with all their congregations. So having a tool like this would allow you to at least keep connected in an emergency situation.
You bet. Sally, I think we're about ready for the featured video of the week.
We are, and the featured video this week ties into one of our community feedback topics. It's actually a video webinar from our friends at the Copyright Coach over at Christian Copyright Solutions. It's titled Understanding the Copyright Complexities of a Galaxy Far, Far Away. So I think they actually released this last year on May the 4th, which is a funny Star Wars kind of connection. May the 4th be with you. So they use the galaxy far, far away. But I'm confident that this hour-long webinar has much information for churches in their search for understanding of copyright, a very complex area.
Good find. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I think we should probably close the show, Sally. As much as we could probably go on talking about many of these topics, we have to save some for another day, and that other day will be next week when we invite our good friend and semi-regular classroom technology correspondent, Jason Schmidt, to join us, talk about educational technology. We're going to pick another topic from the NMC Horizon Report. That's that report that kind of tries to kind of get the crystal ball out and look into the future and see what kind of tech is on the horizon that we should be paying attention to. And we've chosen the topic, wearable tech, a topic that I think dominated a lot of the CES show this year. We talked a little bit about that, mm-hmm. but I think we're going to be seeing more and more of that. So tune in next week to see how that kind of intersects with education and what we're going to be wearing on our persons, not just watches, but other stuff that is being made available. So kind of fun stuff. We're going to enjoy that conversation with Jason. So tune in next week for episode 482. Thank you so much, Sally, for joining us from beautiful Mississippi. Enjoy the warm weather. We will talk to all of you next week. Bye-bye.